when we looked at the different Sundays back in May and the opportunities to preach, this one happened to be on loving one another deeply. It was also August 8th, toward the end of the summer. And of course, I like to see beauty before age. So of course, Dave and Brian were able to preach before me. Two, the rapture could have happened any time along here, in which we would be having services in heaven. No rapture. We press on. I did have an MRI on my shoulder yesterday, and Doc John sent me a text if I needed anything to calm me down. No, but give me a call Sunday morning. Well, it's exciting to share what God has put on my heart. I would say it has been a difficult few weeks. My wife would attest to that. And I don't know if it's just the responsibility, the opportunity to just share with you, taking this opportunity to share what God has laid on my heart. So I have different examples from my time in this church. I may jump around. Forgive me for that. If you're visiting our church today, I am not the pastor. I'm not even the substitute pastor. But I am one of the elders in our church, and I want to welcome those that are visiting with us or watching us online as well. It's also it's difficult to follow or to... Brock and Al do this. This is what they do. Dave and Brian are lawyers, successful lawyers. They write these things out. There's a flow. I'm a broker, a commodity broker. I speak in words. Bean soared, the Dow plunged, the dollar stayed steady. I just said three things that meant something to somebody different. My wife will accuse me of talking about three things at the same time, and sometimes I do, and it's up to you to figure out which one I'm talking about. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us just to pause. I thank you for the opportunity just to share what you have impressed upon my heart. Hopefully I cover the text, but if not, may what you want us to learn today be known. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture that we're going to be looking at here is in 1 Peter, written by Peter, although if you do any research, scholars can disagree. I think scholars would debate which way the sun comes up in the morning, but we'll just leave it at that. It was written by Peter. He was an eyewitness to Jesus' life, to his suffering. This letter was written to the elect exiles of the dispersion. Ooh, that's, we're not going to go there. We're just going to say that as Israel was God's chosen people, we, if you're believers in Jesus Christ, are God's chosen people. Just as the Jews have been spread around the world, so has the church been spread around the world. And as we may share later, some of our church people have been spread around the world, but if that furthers the gospel, it's God's work, not our will. But let's take a look at the scripture for today. And we are in 1 Peter 1, 22. And I'm just going to go to 25 for right now. I do have my timer set on my clock for 2 hours, so if it goes off, you got burnt dinner. So, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, and love one another, I have earnestly but deeply from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fade. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I have a different way of going through things. It's usually backwards. I'm sorry, but what stuck in my head, what God impressed upon me, was the part about since you have been born again. In other words, this is written by people who are Christians, brothers and sisters. And I'd like to stop right there. If you have a doubt if you're born again, you may not be. And if there's one thing to take from today to impress in your forehead, the need to be born again. And I will just take time to share my particular time. December 10th, 1988 at 2:10 is when my life changed. That's when I accepted Jesus Christ. What I have learned since then, not everyone has that same experience, a turning 180. For those that do, I can relate. But that's not in all instances. But looking here at, and by the way, the scripture passage is awesome. Read all of 1 Peter, and maybe you have. But going back into the third verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Born again. God has caused us to be born again because of the resurrection of Jesus. And again, to those who believe. My first recollections when I came to this church, we gathered Sunday evenings. I'm not saying we have to do that, not saying we don't do it, but that's what we did. And I was sitting across from a gentleman, and he shared with me how he was saved. Really? Well, that was awfully refreshing and assuring, since what he just explained happened to me about a month prior. That guy was Kenny Wright. Some of you know him, some of you don't. But it was just a reminder of me to not be afraid to express and to share my faith and my walk with others. I did so enjoy that. And another, if you haven't been born again, it's going to be pretty hard to obey this passage. With the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we're able to obey God's commands. Because of salvation, three things that we should do. This is also in the verses that lead up to our text today. I'll get there. But as obedient children, we need to not be conformed to our prior self. Verse 14. You shall be holy because I am holy. We should be set apart. We should be different. Verse 16. Verse 17, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's not, I'm afraid of the Lord. It's a reverence and an awe. An awareness that he is there every second of every minute of every hour, knows exactly what you're thinking, what you're going to do. And again, I'll share an experience. This was before I was saved. This goes way back. A lady by the name of Dottie Martin, Champ Martin's wife. This means nothing to most of you, but I remember her in Sunday school. Prayers go up all the time, all day. Get out of town. You kidding me? How can you do that? How can you drive? How can you? When I came to this church, one of the first, and I've shared this before, Phyllis Burt had a Bible study at her house. She prayed for everything. What we were going to have, what she was going to wear. And you know, as I've walked and journeyed, it all makes sense. Yeah. That's examples that I have learned through this church. Keith Christie, I could go on about that, but I won't. He may be listening, he may be not, but he usually would say, if you can't say what you want to say in 15 minutes, work harder on it. Now, Keith, it's going to be longer than 15 minutes. I'm sorry. But it made sense. Be saved, be holy, fear God, love one another. I'm kind of getting back to that text. Sincere brotherly love. Man, I have experienced that in this body. And I do so appreciate that. Philos, if I'm saying this wrong, Al, don't correct me. Make me feel good. A warm, affectionate love. Delphos, brother. Philadelphia. Of course, that's a city that we have in the U.S., the city of brotherly love. It says the original meaning of Adelphos is one born from the same womb. I have two brothers. And we are unique in that we came from the same womb. We have the same mother. And no one else can say that on the planet as you came from someone's womb. But anyone that knows Jesus, we're back to born again. Coming from the Spirit is my brother and sister. That's instantly. Ever meet a new person and you find out they're a Christian and have a half hour to talk with them or an hour? You will probably learn more, share more about your life than your family. We had a couple visit a couple weeks ago. I went over and said hi. And I noticed later they were praying with a couple from our church. Oh. And I asked them if, did you know who that was? No. Okay. They had talked for a few minutes. I believe they had a healing ministry and off in prayer in 3 to 4 to 5 minutes. That's how God works. The bond that we have through Christ Jesus. It's an amazing thing. As we get into brotherly love, I would like to show you a picture, if I may. I don't know if all of you can see this. That is our granddaughter crying, and that is her brother. I realize it's a little dark, but do you see the concern and love on that face? And you're wondering, what on earth could have caused that trauma? No, she didn't learn she had to listen to her grandpa's sermon. No, that wasn't it. If you believe it, she found out Saturday morning school doesn't start until Monday. You got to be kidding me. Thank you. But that is brotherly love. A care, a deep concern. And our love should be sincere, not phony. If we look further onto deep love, where are we going there? Now, we may need to go a little bit further than that first mile, maybe even the second one. Or third. In other words, we need to be prepared to go the distance. And sometimes that love can require loving someone that may not be quite as loving as you would like them to be. Well, that's not really for us to decide. Another part in this message I'd like to talk about too, I'm kind of working back to the front, is the obedience to the truth. That is a word. Google that and see what you come up with. And you can ask someone. We could have different truths. I don't know how many tables we have in here, but everyone could have a different definition of truth. Let me tell you what the Bible says. John 17:7, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 14:6, I am the way, Jesus is speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we take a look at our passage here, talking about perishable seed and imperishable seed. Perishable seed, of course, is like the flowers and the, well, it's us. As we've learned, we are perishable. If we don't get a lot of rain, we see our crops, the corn and beans, kind of wither in front of us. But the imperishable, that's the seed that we want to plant. That's the seed that takes hold. And that's God's word. It's a living, abiding thing. What's abide? It says abiding in the word. Abide is continue to remain. It's ongoing. We should continue, for those that claim born again, we should continue to be in study of God's word, to learn from God's word. As we know, Les Briggs was certainly an obvious student of that. We watched him grow tremendously in his knowledge and love of the Lord. And our world has a way of maybe kind of nipping at us. And we could say the world is fading. Yeah. Seeking to divide us. Yeah. Seeking to deceive us. Oh, I think so. Who does that sound like? I think Satan is having his heyday. But before we throw out the earth, I kind of like where we're at in our certain time. It's kind of nice to drive a car to church. It's kind of nice to be in air conditioning, which I turned down when I came. But have you ever read the Old Testament? They weren't exactly Boy Scouts back then either. Not only did some turn their back on God, God's people turned their back on him. And we think, boy, what a time we live in. You know, there was a time there was a guy called Noah. And his family was the only ones left. God wiped out everyone. My point there is, don't get hung up on what's going on in the world. Those things have happened. They will happen. We have victory. We have our joy is found in Christ Jesus. If we take a look at... I'm just going to read 2 through 10. So put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Just looking here, and I would take a look at the living stones. Each one of us, a vital part of this body. Or if you're a part of another body, a part of that body. I've been with saved now 33 years come December, and I'll be with the church about 33 years come January. It's been, again, a wonderful blessing. But there's been things that go on along the way. What is the future of God's church? What are we to do here? Some of the things as believers, you say you're born again, okay, good. Forgive those who sin against you. Love our enemies and pray for them. I know you do all these things. This is just kind of a reminder. Bear one another's burdens. Give of ourselves to those who have no way of repaying. Refuse to retaliate. Go the second mile, assuming you've gone the first. Oh, accept rebuke, correction, without complaining. Be able to correct or rebuke without condemning. Sounds hard, doesn't it? Well, you know what? Without Christ, it's impossible. Can't be done in the flesh. I'm going to flip to the verses 9 and 10 here. We are a chosen race by God's grace. Well, one of the things that looking in here, and it talked about the destined. Why do some believe and others don't? We could get into predestination, but we aren't. We let those that went to seminary do those things. But we are the body of Christ. We are his church. So do we just meet together like this, have a nice building? What is our purpose? This came to mind while I'm going through this. It has nothing to do with where we're at. I'm sorry, but it was just God wanted me to share this. Sowing and reaping. Two of the things, could God do the sowing? Could God do the reaping? Yep. You know what he calls us to do? The responsibility that we have is to sow, is to do the harvest. As a farmer well knows, he can plant the seed, great crop out there. It's December. How's that crop going? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You've got a great crop. Forgot to harvest. A farmer isn't going to forget to harvest. My point is there's a time for that harvest. How are we doing as individuals in a church at sowing the truth? And doing so lovingly. How about the harvest? Luke 10:2, harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers that are few. By the way, I'm seeing myself in some of these things that I need work on. Our church is constantly changing. If you've only been with us a few weeks, we have said goodbye to Phyllis Burt, Janice Long, and Les Briggs. And we have another couple that's just moving their ministry further east and south. They're not leaving the planet, they're just moving their base. As we go forward, there will be activities that we plan to get together as a church. And for those listening in, I'm looking at our body here, but maybe you can be talking about your body there. Think about attending them. And if attending them, think about maybe there's somebody there you don't know or haven't talked to or haven't met yet. Maybe go say hi. Maybe share your walk or your faith. Small groups will be forming soon. Pray about maybe being a part of them. If you're not active in Sunday school, maybe give that a thought. It's going to be different when we start up without Les. Les was always one who we told him he couldn't answer the first time. He'd always answer the first time. He'll miss him. Changes are going to be happening to the building. Might not always agree on what's done here. To us that are older, passing that baton, it's constantly being passed. I mean, it's a process. And you don't pass it, I guess I won't use your mic here, but, you know, like this or like that. Ooh, good luck. Hope you caught it. If you've ever been a part of a relay, you're running right alongside. You tell the guy to go. He lays his hand back. You lay it in there. And when he's got the grasp, you let go. And there it goes. Holding on too long, letting go too soon, can have consequences. To the younger ones, I would say take time to listen or seek the advice of older ones. Like the commercial, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, or three, or four. If we can help you from stumbling, praise be. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 5, talks about that. And I guess I would just also say, read 1 Peter this week. Love. Love. Not just a good idea, it's not even a choice. It's a command. John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. 1 John 3:23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. If you don't get anything else from today, born again, love one another. I can't not bring up a friend, you know, just what's transpired the past week, and I think I can get through it with the Holy Spirit. But I just did want to say a few words about Les Briggs. Those that don't know him that well or didn't know him that well, the journey wasn't always a bed of roses. When he gave his life to the Lord, did he change? Everything about him, what he did, what he said, his activities, Les was the real deal. And we saw it. All because of Jesus. He was not afraid to die. Zero fear. The one thing that hurts was not being able to say goodbye. I will see him again, that I know. But what, anything learned from this experience? Yep. Who has touched your life? Who has impacted you? Who do you know may need encouragement? Who do you know may need someone to come alongside and give support or a prayer? And if you do, tell them. That's what I learned from this message. You might not have tomorrow to do so. We are entering a time in our church life. What we've just gone through this summer is different. Brock's been on sabbatical. We've had different guys fill the pulpit. And our theme here as we come up soon, renew. How's your walk going? Is it robust? Routine? Is it limping along? Renew, some of the refresh, rejuvenate, renovate. Some people do their vows after so many years, renew their vows, the promise of that union. Renovate, to restore, spruce up. We're going to see some sprucing up of this building soon. Rejuvenate. Revitalize. We have, a time coming up that we're focusing on renew. And I know as I examine my life, don't need to reinvent the wheel, but the tires could use a little more pressure, if you know what I mean, so they roll a little smoother. Everything that I've shared here, I'm looking at the mirror. It has been a privilege to be able to just share this morning, the thoughts that God has impressed upon my mind. Again, I'd encourage you to just read 1 Peter. Encourage you to read the Bible. Encourage you to, as we look ahead, activities that we do plan, and it's not just to have activities to do, but the opportunity to get together and share our lives. As I mentioned, this church was founded on people that loved the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, and loved each other as they did themselves. And that can never change. That's what a church is founded on. And that's on the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for your love in giving us your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may the sun not go down to seek out someone that they may know as a Christian, that maybe today is the day of their salvation. Lord, just impress upon our hearts these scriptures, and as we move ahead as a body and as we see things change, we know that you never change. Help us to be obedient to your word and to love one another with a deep, passionate, brotherly love. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.